The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Well, after not only do one show, but two shows, Mission Minded and Bite by Bite, right here with Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We do a business show called Mission Minded, but this is a show specifically about the needs of the people when it comes to our hunger needs in Heart of Alabama Food Bank, 35 counties in the great city of Montgomery. They take care of the stuff, and Michael is the head man down there. This is a very interesting bite-by-bite in that you kind of pull it back a little bit and we get down to the basics and explanations and educating the public about what exactly does a food bank do. I specifically recently have seen a lot of news stories lately about people doing food drives and opening pantries, and there's a new thing in Birmingham where they opened up a low price store, and this is good, right? Because I mean, we're getting it out there, and there's a lot of advocacy, and I think a lot of it had to do certainly with the fact that now it's summertime. I got an email from my school today saying, hey, listen, if your kid's hungry this summer, you can stop by and get these meals, because that's where our kids were eating, and we certainly saw how that worked. But what would you say right off the bat is probably one of the biggest stigmatisms that you have to deal with when you're talking about feeding America, or just the lack of food sufficiency in this country as a whole?
Well, thankfully, the majority of people that we deal with have never had to stand in a food line. So it's like anything else. You know, we are brought up in our families based on our experiences, based on the input of friends, family, business people. You know, we tend to form opinions about things, about societal things. And so one of the greatest challenges is when you get 20 and you get 30, you get more and more rigid in terms of what those beliefs are, unless you're somebody who is excited about having your belief system openly challenged. And most people are not like that. They don't want to sit down in a way. They will tell you what they think, and they will argue with you, whether it's politics, religion, whatever. They'll fight for the things that they believe in. But to sit down and say, you know, here's what I think, but, you know, I'm open to having my mind changed. You just don't get that as much. So when you have people in society, the vast majority of people are not even going to understand why a food bank exists. Mm-hmm. I mean, on some abstract level, they're going to know, okay, yeah, there's hungry people and we're glad. But to really delve into poverty and delve into the challenges, it's easy when you haven't experienced that and you don't know all the intricacies involved and all the barriers that come about with poverty and poverty thinking, to throw out solutions that maybe you in the middle class would expect. And lots of times there's great answers for that, but they're not in a position to where they're open to hearing that. So that's one of the greatest challenges is they in their mind, they think of, well, this is what a food bank is. Well, it serves people who are lazy and don't want to work, and so they don't have any food.
Yeah, sure.
Those kind of things. And thankfully, that's getting less. But there's just a lot of things that sometimes we get them on site, and I do tours, and I just did one a few hours ago with a civic club. And these are business people, and none of them in that group had ever stood in a food line. So I was like, it doesn't mean they didn't have empathy. I mean, they were there. They wanted to learn, but they were obviously surprised at some of the things. So I look at opportunities like that as a time to educate them. But the reality is most people are not just, hey, I'm just going to absorb whatever you say. I'm going to say things that's going to push against preconceived ideas. And so it creates a conflict in their head. Like, do I want to believe what I'm being told here? Because I've always thought this. Mm-hmm. And so they have to wrestle with that. And depending on how much they want to wrestle with, depends on how successful you are.
What would you say to a person who comes in and realizes that we live in, if not the richest, one of the most richest countries in the world? And I think there's no doubt that we all believe that there's enough food in the United States. We probably throw enough waste food away to feed everyone adequately. But knowing that is this something that can be fixed? As a friend, as someone that would come in, is this something that can be fixed? Should there be a way that we could all eat and not have to have food banks?
Would be incredibly challenging because it's not simply about just the amount of food. I agree wholeheartedly that there's enough food in America. So Feeding America recovers 4 billion pounds per year of food that would be thrown into landfills.
Amazing.
This is good, nutritious food. This is not, you know, expired, spoiled. I mean, this is food that could be sold in a grocery store just for whatever ends, finds its way there for whatever reason. And so, but there's still billions that do go to waste that we can't recapture for different reasons. So I do believe that that's what we're trying to do is get to where nobody has to go hungry, you know, in our country. And a lot of people, it's very hard for them to believe that that this actually exists. But I today gave them an example of my own mother who, you know, she was on a fixed income. She was divorced from her husband. She was in poor health. She got $1,100 a month. And if left to her, she didn't have any savings. The divorce took up what little bit she had. But my sister and I were there to make sure that she had everything that she needed till she passed. But there's so many seniors who, especially here in the summertime, so imagine them in a small little one-bedroom apartment. They're on a fixed income. They don't have family around to make sure they they get everything that they need. They have health issues or they don't have transportation. And if they got, like my mother, $1,100 a month, so you got to pay for your apartment, you got to pay for food, and you got to pay for your medicine, and you got to pay for your utility bill to keep the air conditioner on because you can't survive without air conditioning, you know, in the summertime in Alabama. And so lots of times those ends just don't meet. And so there's so many people in that situation where there's not kids helping, there's not, but that's not most of us. And so we don't tend to think about those people. We don't tend to think about the lady three doors down that, you know, has those kind of challenges. We don't think about, because our kids come home at night would come home from school and say, hey, what are we eating today? Mm-hmm. Because they just assume that there's going to be a choice.
Number one question.
They don't ask, are we going to get to eat tonight? But there's still tens of thousands of children in Alabama who that's exactly what happens. So, but if that's not your situation, and it's not your experience, I get it. You don't, you know, it's hard for you to connect to that. So what I have to do is try to explain that to them that not only that this is real, but it's way more, it happens way more than we would like to admit in our community.
Something we could probably do a whole show on Mission Minded or Bite by Bite. Just talk about briefly about the logistics you must deal with. You know, I never thought about, okay, I have someone who's hungry. They have money to buy groceries, but they don't have a grocery store within 180 miles of where they live. That doesn't even think, you know, I just took my dinner or my family out to dinner last night and the food we wasted and we couldn't eat anymore. And I felt horrible that all this food was going in the trash, thinking to myself, okay, there's a guy sitting right outside, you know, on the curb that would probably love to have this meal. There wasn't, but there is somewhere, you know, it's kind of like whenever you hear about California going through a drought and all of a sudden we have floods here. It's like, is there no way we can pipe this water out here and just run a pipe all the way to California? I mean, we do it with oil. Why can't we do it with water? Can you just basically talk about the logistical aspects that you have to deal with? Just getting it in your hands sometimes is very difficult.
Yeah. So we use the term, it's really a government term, food insecure. And it really describes people who, if you don't have transportation, you're about at least a mile away from a food source. And then lots of times, if you have transportation, I think it's over 20 miles from a food source. And in a lot of the counties in Alabama, so we serve 35, but we serve 12 directly out of our facility. So when you talk about a major grocery store chain, like a Walmart grocery store, a Publix, Winn-Dixie, half of our 12 counties don't have a grocery store in them. If it does, it's a really small one. And so lots of times they have to go to a Dollar General. Well, typically Dollar Generals are not going to have a lot of fresh produce. They're not going to have fresh proteins. It's going to be canned. It's going to be processed. If you do get fruit, lots of times down at the local gas station, you know, the bananas are ready for banana pudding. They're not very tempting to get. The fruit's just not in great condition. And so when you think about somebody who's 30 or 40 miles from a grocery store and they're already struggling to make ends meet, they can't get in a car with gas prices the way they are, drive there, shop in a grocery store, make those dollars last and come back. And so it's just one more challenge. So I'm not talking about, you know, you can live the rural life and make plenty of money, have a nice house and pond or whatever out and live in a secluded area. There's lots of people who live there who maybe took over a house from their parents or grandparents, and they're working a job that they can barely keep the lights going on that. It's in poor repair. They don't have that money. And people are saying, well, just move. And you think about it, just move. When you don't have any money and you don't have reliable transportation, it's just to say, just moving is the answer is seems like a bridge too far for so many people.
Yeah.
So one of the challenges is how do we make sure those people and their children are not deprived of the nutritious food that children need to grow mentally and physically and emotionally and all those kind of things, and try to avoid trauma for seniors and trauma for children with food insecurity. So yeah, the whole logistical piece is a really big deal. And in next show or two, we're going to continue to talk about this subject because it's so important to be able to understand just all that. They're very important what we've touched on so far, but there's just so many more things that we need to continue to overcome and fight against so that the average person at least can look at those who are in need without judgment and with more empathy.
This is Bite by Bite.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.